from NPR, National Public Radio.
From Boston, says you. A game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy. Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Schur.
Thank you. Thank you. Welcome to the Carriage House of the Codman Estate in Lincoln, Massachusetts for Says You, our simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. Our bi-coastal broadcaster and master of the arcane, Barry Nolan. Our chic and stylish rose between thorns, Francine Akbar. And our radio host, our humorist, our beacon of credibility in the storm of triviality, Mr. Tony Khan. Led tonight by?
A desperate shot at credibility, we've named Mr. Khan, Captain.
Mr. Khan, well, Captain. To my left, Team 2, producer, performer, the official Says You Minister Without Portfolio, Arnold Riesman. Columnist, critic, the official Says You Sloganeer, Miss Carolyn Fay Fox. And from WBZ-TV, the official Says You Laugh Track, Miss Paula Lyons. Captain tonight by?
The official fox, Carolyn Fay.
The official fox. Our game is played in 5 rounds. Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin with the round adopted by my wife, Laura, as her personal bailiwick. We call it, Tastes Sort of Like Chicken. For 10 points, please describe for me the following culinary coups. Carolyn, shad roe.
Shad roe. Well, it looks really nasty. The first time I saw it in a supermarket, I thought, oh, gosh, it looks like a horror show. It is the egg sacs of the fish named shad. And they're these nasty-looking, membranous, veiny, horrible, awful things that people will fry up with bacon and eat.
10 points, I am.
The best use for shad roe is in that Cole Porter song.
I have never. Has anyone here ever had it?
It is the blue plate special at the Ritz restaurant. They serve it all the time, yeah.
Shad
roe. In fact, I think it's the same dish served constantly. I've never seen anybody eat it.
You know, there's a budget version called Sears roe. You can get it for $1.
Yeah. You know, feel free to boo any time. Just jump right in there. It's a sack of millions of tiny eggs held together by a tough gossamer membrane cooked until pink in the middle. And sautéed with lemons and capers.
Shad roe, Meshach, and Abednego. Weren't they pink in the middle?
Tony.
Yes.
Get us out of there with cock-a-leaky.
Cock-a-leaky. Well, it's not so much a dish as an emotional experience. Cock, I would imagine, has to do with the chicken. I am truly in uncharted territory with this one. So I would say cock probably has to do with a chicken. It's either that or it's a Polynesian thing involving the use of spam.
Well, there's some points for that, but not too close.
Cock, no. I think we're back to Scottish derivation
there you
here.
Are.
We are in Scottish derivation.
Oh, we know.
Good.
It's a soup.
It's a sort of a stew, I think, with chicken, onions, potatoes. Is that
well, actually, somewhat? Yeah. It's a chicken stew with
bacon,
prunes, and lots of leeks.
Leeks.
Well, you might expect.
2 points
from
for
the country
chicken.
That gave you haggis, don't forget.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we give them 5 points because there was creativity there, if not accuracy.
There? There was creativity?
Yes. Oh. Arnie, Long Island iced tea.
Long Island iced tea.
Long Island iced tea.
Not a single
It's an alcoholic drink.
It is, in fact, a drink.
Which you need to drink in order to get through a weekend in Long Island.
Long Island?
It's got vodka in it, hasn't it?
It does.
Okay.
Is it iced tea with vodka and lemon?
It has a lot of vodka in it.
No, it's got a lot. It's got a lot of everything in it.
It's like a real.
You've got 4 points
for the
drink aspect of it, but we'll go to the other side. Any help?
Having just interviewed the fellow that wrote Bartending for Dummies, the Long Island iced tea goes under a lot of different recipes, but it principally involves taking all the clear alcoholic beverages you have at the bar and putting them in one glass. And if you look it up on the internet at one of those sites that tells you about recipes, It warns you that this is disaster as far as hangover is concerned.
Oh, I bet. Yes. Yeah. It is actually, he is absolutely right. It is sure. All the white liquors, a half ounce of vodka, gin, tequila, rum, and triple sec, mixed with sour mix and cola. Now, I am told that this makes it taste like iced tea, and that's the danger. It tastes like iced tea. Has anyone had one?
Yeah, it's
true. It does?
You know how some things say don't operate heavy machinery? This, you're not even supposed to use things like Nerf machinery. You'll get hurt.
Francine, what's the difference between a Western and an Eastern omelet?
Oh, well, a Western omelet has tomatoes and onions and green peppers.
I think, does it have to do with the sun rising and setting? That perhaps a Western omelet, it's face down, and Eastern,
no,
it's face up?
It.
No, okay.
Well, I think it has to do with the contents.
You're right to think ingredients.
So, how am I doing?
not as well as you'd like.
Chopped ham have anything
chopped
important
ham has,
to do with this?
Yes, it does.
And tomato and green pepper.
Well, that's actually...
But Eastern does not have the chopped ham.
It does have to do with the contents, and you're sort of there, but you got it a little mixed up. Any help from the other side?
No, we want to hear them struggle more.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Fine. A Western omelet has onions, peppers, and diced ham, and Eastern adds to that cheese and sometimes mushrooms and tomatoes. But the big distinction is cheese in an Eastern omelet. Paula, apple pan dowdy.
Oh, gosh. I heard it in songs more than I've ever eaten it, yes. I think. Apple pan dowdy is a dessert. Apple.
It's like an apple crisp, except it's got like a biscuit, more of a biscuity dough on top, or cakey kind of thing. It doesn't have like the oatmeal crumble on it.
Right. You know something? Yeah. Very good. 10 points.
We love having this food writer with us.
Really?
I'm having fun.
It is cooked apples, or any fruit really, but cooked apples under biscuit dough, baked overnight, and then you break up the crust and let it just sink right into the apples.
So
the
next time it's what happens to an apple pie after 3 Long Island iced teas.
That's exactly right. Barry, po' boys.
Po' boys. Po' boys are a variety of barbecued beef that involves a sort of tangy tomato sauce in which shredded barbecued beef is mushed together and it's poured over a cheap bun.
You know, I was afraid we were going to go here because there are alternate recipes which do use barbecued beef, but that's not the primary. Any help from that sign?
No.
I've got to give you some points because the dictionary does say that, but is there any help from the other side?
I think it's of New Orleans origin,
it's
a long loaf of French bread, and it could be fried oysters or some other ingredients, but in different parts of the country, it could be a sub or a hoagie, or in Maine, they call them Italian sandwiches.
Yeah, well, actually, you're right. You got the oysters and you got the French bread. They are oysters rolled in cornmeal and deep fried. Mm. And then put inside a soft-crusted French bread.
Well, I didn't think I'd have to say you took them out of the shell.
Doesn't sound that appetizing to me.
High in calcium, but oh so crunchy.
Let's go on to round two, the first of the Seju bluffing rounds, played with a little musical help from our friends, the Dactyls. Carolyn, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one will have the actual definition. The other two will get blank cards. They'll have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Tony's team. 10 points up for grabs to Tony if he can sniff out the truth, or to you, Carolyn, if you can bluff them. A few seconds, musically enhanced, to come up with a definition for the word puggle. P-U-G-G-L-E, puggle. Folks?
If you want to eat up hours of free time that otherwise could be spent ironing or changing the washers in the basement sink, why not check out our website at www.sayu.org. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U, all one word. You can ask us questions, contribute questions, order books, CDs, tickets, or simply fall asleep with your cheek on the keyboard. Everything in good fun at www.sayu.org.
Thank you very much for giving us a little time with the word puggle. We'll go first to Carolyn.
Puggle, it's kind of a sweet word. It's sort of like nuzzling and cuddling. It refers to what baby animals do just after they're born, cozying up to their mom to find a place to nurse. They puggle.
Aww. They puggle up to mommy.
Isn't that sweet?
Puggle.
That is the first awe we've ever gotten in the history of Seju.
Not usually.
Puggling up to mommy.
Yeah.
Arnie, top that one.
Well, actually, it's a slang word from the United Kingdom or Ireland for cutting corners. It's essentially crushed stone used in masonry, particularly walkways and driveways, and considered a less expensive, quicker option for such construction.
Crushed stone.
Yeah.
Arnie, could you say that again, leaving out every other word? It's just a test. I just want to see if it holds up.
Is that a noun or a verb, as you're describing?
It's a noun. Crushed stone used in masonry.
It's crushed.
Slang for cutting corners, but it's actually crushed stone.
Crushed stone. Paula?
Oh, slang for okay.
Yeah.
Puggle.
Well, it refers to the process of taking a stick and putting it into a hole and wiggling it around to make the opening wider, clearer, better.
To puggle.
As in?
To
well, I don't know. I was trying to think of that myself. I suppose you could be going after one of those animals that routes around in your garden or something.
Oh.
I don't know.
Well, you described my relationship with my dentist, actually.
Come on, Con, just a little bit more.
I have to see a tooth to fix this.
All right.
Puggle up.
So we're either puggling down a hole, or it's crushed stone, or we're pugging up to mommy.
These are really good definitions.
They are very good.
Yeah.
You know, pug seems to have the resonance of the British Isles to it, you know, the pug dog and a wee little pug and, you know.
I believe it's Paula. I think it's Paula.
Paula?
I do.
You know, her chin was twitching a little bit, though, when she gave that definition. She was under some kind of pressure.
I thought it was Arnie.
Arnie, okay. Yeah.
With the crushed stone.
Yeah, with the crushed stone.
Okay, cutting corners Pickle. With crushed stone.
You're the captain.
I say Arnie.
Arnie, they think it's crushed stone.
My chin wasn't twitching, was it? They're wrong.
10 points, a bluff. They're wrong.
No, Paula, don't do this to me.
Well, she's going to.
Oh, my.
The real definition is?
To push a stick or wire down a hole and wiggle it about to clear the opening.
Very
that
good.
That is to puggle. Oh.
To puggle. Let's go on to round three. You've been very patient, Mr. Reisman. Are you ready for a round of Odd Man Out?
Oh, goody. Yeah. Sure. Why not?
Which of the following does not belong in the list? 5 points for the correct answer, 5 points for telling me why. Carolyn.
Mm-hmm.
Bridge.
Bridge.
Hearts.
Parts.
Hearts?
Yes.
H-E-A-R-T-S?
Yes.
Okay.
Golf, G-O-L-F.
Mm-hmm.
And cross-country running.
Cross-country running is a sport.
Bridge, hearts, golf, and cross-country running.
Paula just said.
I say cross-country running because bridge, hearts, and golf are games, and cross-country running is an individual sport.
Well, I was afraid of this.
well, she's right.
Yeah, that's right.
You're going to get some points for that, but not
many. Oh, but you were looking for a different one.
Yes, I'm
looking for the French words for each one of them.
It has more to do, I think, with the rules of the game.
Would it have to do with numbers?
It has everything to do with numbers.
Would it be that bridge, hearts, and golf most customarily are played with four?
Oh.
That's not what you're looking for either.
No, that's not it either.
No?
But it has everything to do with pretty much the score.
Oh, the
there
one
is no
with
score.
The,
and cross-country running.
The one with the lowest.
Lowest time. So bridge is the odd man out?
Bridge is indeed the odd man out. Because in bridge, the winner gets the highest score. In all the others, the winner gets the lowest score. Six of the most disgraceful points I've ever seen in this show.
I think not.
Tony, what's the odd man out? Oak?
Oak.
Maple?
Maple.
Plum?
Plum.
And magnolia?
Magnolia. Well, the oak is the only tree I know that holds on to its leaves in the
fall.
Yeah,
but that's not the right way to go.
I'm just saying that about the oak, maple, plum, and
would color have anything to do with this?
It has nothing to do with the trees themselves.
The leaves have anything to do with the number of
nothing to do with the trees. It has everything to do with
the
words.
Okay.
The words.
Okay.
See, odd man out. They ask for it, and it's a hard category.
Oh.
Any help from the other side? It's a word you would use in combination with these.
Sugar plum.
Sugar is exactly sugar right. Who came
sugar
up with that
plum,
first?
Sugar magnolia.
Yeah. Sugar, so oak is out.
Sugar maple, sugar plum, sugar magnolia, but right, there's no sugar oak that we can think of.
What's a sugar magnolia?
I've never
the
heard
song,
of
sugar magnolia.
Yeah, Grateful Dead.
Richard, in what way is that a better means of disqualifying oak than the fact that its leaves stay on longer?
It's the one he meant.
It's the one he meant.
It's the same problem we had, Tony. Yeah.
I don't mean to complain about
this. But 6 points will come your way.
All right,
Arnie, put on your thinking cap. You know where we're going here. Ford, F-O-R-D.
Yeah.
Williams, W-I-L-L-I-A-M-S. Spats, S-P-A-T-S. And Tuxedo, T-U-X-E-D-O. Ford, Williams, Spats, and Tuxedo. If he gets this, it's an achievement.
Do you think this is something locked inside his brain again?
I don't know. No,
I mean, let it out.
I mean, if I get this? Well, we got... Mm, is Tennessee have anything to do with this?
Oh, hey.
Therefore...
Doesn't it just kill you? Tennessee has everything to do with
who
it.
Who is Tennessee Spats?
There is no Tennessee Spats.
Spats is the opposite.
There is a Tennessee Ernie Ford. There is a Tennessee Williams. There's a Tennessee Tuxedo, the cartoon, but there is no Tennessee Spats. 10 points, Ernie. Yeah. Very good.
Wow,
Ernie.
Francine, try this. George Washington, Earl Hines, H-I-N-E-S. The Rocky Mountains and the Mississippi River.
Not jumping right out at me.
Nope.
No.
Any help? Tap dancer Earl Hines?
Well,
yeah.
You're on the right road here.
George Washington.
The other side does
Rocky
have this.
Rocky Mountains.
Earl Hines is the clue, actually, in this one.
Earl Hines is the odd man out?
No, he is not the odd man out. He's really the clue. Well, I think we have to go to the other side.
I would assume it's Rocky Mountains is the odd man out.
And why would you say that?
Because the other ones are all fathers.
That's exactly
George
right.
George Washington's father of the country, Earl Father Hines.
Oh, yes.
Piano player and the father of rivers.
And the father of waters, actually,
waters.
The Mississippi
River.
Oh, very good, right. Arnie. This is his category. The odd man out is the Rockies.
Very good.
Because they are not the father of anything. And watch, we'll get mail saying the Rockies are
the father of,
something.
Oh, no.
Paula, this one's murder. Gunpowder.
Gunpowder.
Baking powder. Talcum powder. And curry powder.
Wow.
Think outside the box here.
Well, talcum powder is the only one you'd put in a baby's bottom.
That's true. It's absolutely
true.
It's
the only potential carcinogen in the group.
That's correct.
True. Is that true?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
Talc.
Yeah, talc is.
Yeah, you have to be careful using talc.
Yeah, and you don't with gunpowder on a baby.
No.
Just don't spank it.
That's how they came up with BBs.
Gunpowder.
You know, I was wondering where the laugh was in this question.
Are we talking color?
No, we're not talking color.
Are we talking invention or where they come from?
How about gunpowder is the odd man out?
It is not.
No.
How about baking powder is the odd man out?
Well, we're winnowing it down here. How about we go to the other side?
Would talcum powder?
Talcum powder is
as the only one which is made out of only one material.
That's exactly
right.
Very good, Tony.
One material.
See, catching up with these guys.
I should have gone with my instinct and thought.
Only talcum powder is a single ingredient. The others are mixes. Very good. And finally, Barry, Harvard, Cornell, Dartmouth, and Princeton.
Would it be Princeton?
It is indeed Princeton.
And would it be because the others are named after particular people?
Oh, I thought
I was
you
so
had
close.
It. I thought you had it. It came so close.
Would it have to do with the colors?
Oh, so Cornell it's not.
It has everything to do with the colors.
Yeah, crimson. They're all oh, right. They all crimson. Have crimson in them. Other than
Harvard crimson.
Princeton. Harvard crimson. The Cornell
has a bunch of blue blood.
Crimson's so.
Yeah, 10 points. Princeton is the odd man out. Harvard is the crimson. Cornell is the big red. Dartmouth is the big green. Princeton are the tigers.
Oh. Also, Princeton is the only one located in a town with the same name.
That would have thrown me for a loss, yes. Very good, Carolyn. Yeah. Let's go on to round four, because it's too late to do anything about it now, which is Tony's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word, two will bluff. 10 points, Carolyn, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word mundungus. M-U-N-D-U-N-G-U-S. Mundungus.
Mundungus.
Folks?
From Vapor to Paper, Says You is now in print. Information about our first book, Says Us, Scripts and Quips from Says You, is available on our website at www.saysyou.org. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U, all one word. And with the book, a CD featuring highlights from our early years. If you can call a collection of bad puns, groaners, and triple entendres highlights. You can find out about the book, the CD, and upcoming show events, all at www.saysyou.org.
Thank you very much. We've had a few moments with the word mundungus. We'll go first to Tony.
First definition says, please create a definition.
Okay.
Second definition is, it. I suppose it comes from the term worldly, only it has the opposite meaning. It's a person who has renounced the world. It's a disparaging term for somebody who chose the religious life or, you know, became a monk of some kind.
A hermit.
A monk dungus?
No. Mundungus.
A monk.
A monk. Someone who renounces the world.
Who renounces the world, the secular world.
Francine?
Mundungus is a layer of organic material found beneath peat.
Peat who?
Pete. Pete Moss, as in Irish Pete.
You have the humongous and then the mundungus, right, directly underneath it.
The layer beneath Pete. Pete who? Barry, mundungus.
Mundungus has all the qualities you love about mold and fungus and the smell of wet dog. Mundungus is actually the foul smell of really cheap, foul-smelling tobacco. As to use it correctly in a sentence, R.J. Reynolds was finally sued by the government because for all these years they had just mundungus.
Foul-smelling tobacco. Ooh, the layer beneath Pete, or a world renouncer.
What do you think?
Well, it makes sense if you
the
think
problem
of...
The problem is one of those is right, huh? Uh-huh.
Well, we have mumbling in the audience. Yeah, they're mumbling out here.
I think the foul-smelling tobacco, because it would go along with putting your mundungus where your mouth is.
Excuse me?
Well, you know, foul-smelling tobacco, I don't know. I like to say it.
Tony was going with mund and worldly.
No,
Mond would be...
I don't think so.
Organic material sounds too right. So that's why we're going to go for Wacko Berry.
Yeah, just
well,
because
I didn't
it seems
Wacko Berry. But
smell of cheap tobacco. I think. It's
all right.
The cheap tobacco.
Tobacco.
They're going with the foul-smelling tobacco, Barry. Is that in fact the correct definition?
Tony or Francine, would you like to tell them they got it right?
Oh. Good.
10 points.
Foul-smelling tobacco.
That was a gasp from the audience. What did you folks think? Some good bluffs, but well done for that side. 10 points, making the score, it's tough going into the last round, 56-33 on a very hard day. Something we haven't done for a long time, a round of Says Who. For 10 points, please tell me who uttered the following familiar words. Carolyn, the Frenchman who suggested If God did not exist, it would be necessary to invent him.
If God did not exist, it would be necessary. Sartre?
No.
That sounds right. Pascal?
That's what I would have gone to Sartre, and that's not.
I Pascal?
It's a lot older than that.
Jacques Cousteau.
Jacques Cousteau. Jacques Cousteau would have.
Voltaire?
Voltaire is right, and it's a third guess, so
we'll. Well, I was thinking.
it sounded more modern than that, didn't it?
Give them 7 points for guessing there.
It wasn't Voltaire.
Tony, the classic progenitor of the sentiment, the life which is unexamined is not worth living.
Oh.
Is that Thoreau?
No.
It's not Freud.
Are we in Greece?
Oh. We are in Greece.
Socrates.
Socrates.
I said Socrates. Plato is
Plato.
Correct.
Plato.
Plato quoting Socrates.
Really? Yeah. That's good to know. Yeah.
They eventually staggered their way to Plato. That's correct. So give them 7 points for that. Arnie, the titan of American filmmaking who came up with Hindsight is Always 20/20.
Is that Goldwyn?
Filmmaking.
Not Orson Welles?
No.
Goldwyn?
Alfred Hitchcock.
Still going through another. Alfred Hitchcock.
No, one of the great studio bosses.
Yeah, Goldwyn or somebody like that, was it?
Is it Goldwyn?
It is not Goldwyn.
It's Louis B. Mayer.
It is Louis B. Mayer. Once again, staggered to Louis B. Mayer, another 7 points because we're in a generous mood. Francine, the curmudgeon, the American curmudgeon who resentfully offered, golf is a good walk spoiled.
Oh.
Well, every time curmudgeon, we think of H.L. Mencken.
Yeah. Mencken. You know,
it is not Mencken, no.
W.C. Fields.
Not S.J. Perlman.
No. This is a tough category. This. Any help from the other
early
side?
Curmudgeon.
Twain?
It is, in
Mark
fact,
Twain.
Mark Twain.
Yeah. Mark
yes,
Twain.
It is Mark Twain. Paula, the futurist who opined at 50, everyone has the face he deserves.
Yes, and the eyesight that helps him endure it, I believe, is also.
And if you don't like it, you go change it. Just about that time.
Isaac Asimov.
Think, too.
No. I'm sorry. It's
okay.
Marshall McLuhan.
No.
H. G. Wells.
Any help from the audience?
At 50, everyone has the.
Those
face,
are the words
face,
of George Orwell.
Oh.
Lest
really?
We forget.
Really.
And finally, Barry. Love is the ultimate triumph of hope over experience.
Oh. Oscar
Don't
Wilde.
We know that.
Oscar Wilde is exactly right. 10 points. Very good. Closing hard, but on a very tough day, 70 points for Carolyn's team, a winning effort. Congratulations. That is all we have time for this week. We are the guests of the Society for the Preservation of New England Antiquities. The program is written by Messrs. Schur and Salkind and engineered by the team of Fernando Ruiz and Robin Moore. We leave you this week with our periodic request to tell your friends about our show. Tell them that each week more radios are tuned to this program than any other appliance. See you next week.
Says You is the co-creation of WGBH Radio and Pippin and Finch, Boston. Funding for Says You is provided by this and other NPR member stations and studio products, art materials from alum to zinc oxide for the serious artist, on the web at www.studioproducts.com. The Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, making grants to improve the health and health care of all Americans, on the web at rwjf.org. The Pew Charitable Trusts, investing in ideas, returning results. www.pewtrusts.com. The Kellogg Foundation, helping people help themselves by investing in individuals, their families, and their communities. On the web at www.wkkf.org. This is NPR, National Public Radio.